Let's appreciate Pastor Connery. Indeed, he's a good friend of mine. Pastor Kimboi led the first service during our series, Pastor Pascal last week, and Pastor Connery this week. We've served together in the ministry in one way or the other, and they've been of great benefit to me. So you are a good friend of mine. Asante sana. Yes, good morning, Mamlaka. You're good? It is good to see you. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. If you're not acquainted, Bundi Richard is my name. I serve here as the youth pastor. I joined a privilege to do that and also to have taken us through this youth series, which we conclude today. And to do that, let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is the fifth book, the Bible, in the Old Testament. In fact, the Greek translation of it is the second law, Deuteronomos or something in that direction, second law. But anyways, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 9, hoping that you are there. Allow me to read. I will be reading from the New King James Version. You can follow along with the version that will be displayed. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord, your God, has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord, your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. And that's the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. I'm grateful that you've allowed us to gather as a church in such interesting times as a nation, both on a national scale and also maybe from a family perspective and on an individual basis. So I turn to you for help, as you have helped so many people, including myself, who have taken this pulpit since this church was established. May you help me step out of the way that you will bring your very words. So take my words and speak through them. Take our minds, help us to think through them. Take our hearts and renew them, that the things we don't know, you alone will teach us. The things we do not have, you alone will give us. And the things we are not, may you alone make us for your glory, our good, our joy, and our peace. This we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. I would want to start by acknowledging the space that we are all in as a nation with the events of this week. May God comfort you in the space that you find yourself mourning the passing of the Right Honorable Prime Minister, Raila Odinga. In one way or the other, I am sure we are all affected. And so I pray even as we, as the youth say, lock in to this message, we will find strength and health in this season and beyond. I am titling this sermon, For All Times and Always. For All Times and Always. A certain individual makes this quote before he passed on, almost a day later or a week later, I'm not quite sure. But this is how the quote goes. That every man's heart one day beats its final beat, their lungs breathe their final breath, and if what that man did in their life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them believe deeper in something larger than life, then their essence, their spirit will be immortalized by the storytellers, their loyalties by the memories of those who honor them, and make whatever that person did live forever. I can't speak into the context they say that particular quote, whether they were Christians or not, but I believe there's some truth towards it, that the individuals in our lives, whether conspicuously or in the silent space and anonymously, who have had an impact in our lives. And that day will always come. It's always a when and not an if, unless the Lord tarries, that God will choose to call us home. And hence why we've been having this series this month, to awaken ourselves to the reality right now and to see how time is fleeting from one generation to the other. My task basically has been to inform us from my perspective as the youth pastor here, where I feel probably our youth are at and where probably we are going. And I'm hoping that this message will not only be for the young at in age, but also for the young at heart. Amen? Young at heart in the house? Tukoengi. I'm really hoping that at the end of this message, we'll get a sense of focus and direction from God himself. At times, we wonder what will be the most important thing to pass down to a generation for all times and always. Last week, we were able to focus on the older generation and ask ourselves that, could we be alive in the aspects of our lives for such a time as this, as a parent, as an employer, as an older sibling, in the space that you feel blessed in a sense? Could there be a reason that God has placed you there as a Christian for such a time as this? Today, we turn the focus on the young at heart and the young in age. God, in speaking to the Israelites upon having them move from Israel, from Egypt to Canaan, in chapter 6, verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. In a sense, God is saying there are many things I could wish that we move from one generation to the other, or something that you will talk about even as you move into Canaan and into eternity. But I believe this will be key and this will be most important as we think about the next generation and those who are younger than us, and we mentor them and we help them into being the people that we believe God intends for them to be. So verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so I will dissect this into five things that I believe God will desire those young at heart and those young in age in this generation to take up and probably move forward in your journey of salvation until the day God calls you home, whether it's soon enough or whether it will last longer than today. And so firstly, remember him faithfully for all times and always. Remember him faithfully for all times and always. Verse 4 will say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The writer points us to a command that God gives to remind them. It seems subtle, but the more you think about it, there's something he's trying to communicate here, that there is no other God but him. Hear, O Israel, hear, O Mamlaka, this morning, that the Lord our God is one. Faithfulness to him, fidelity towards him. Have no other gods besides him. In fact, in Exodus 20, in the 10 commandments that will be written on the stone tablets, God in the first five or so will emphasize much on this particular reality, that have no other gods before me. He commands them that we are to have no other gods before him and definitely none after him. To make no carved image, to have no likeness in heaven, earth, sea, under the earth, to not worship or bow down to serve them, for God is a jealous God. To not take his name in vain and to find rest in his Sabbath. That our Lord, our God, is one and he desires no other. I feel that probably as we are young and possibly naive, we subtly allow other gods to take root and find our worship through time, investments, be they financial, and even sacrifice of relationships, because we have taken them to be our Lord. We get our lordship from them, and they kind of divert and direct our lives. Young people in the sanctuary this morning, that probably could be us, having allowed subtly other forms of gods to take root, and we have taken ourselves in that direction and away from the one and only true God. It could be our influencers today, from the secular to the spiritual scene. There is a radio presenter you must listen to every morning, and unless they give you a cue to your life, you are lost. From your TikToks to your Instagram to your Facebook, maybe I've gone a bit old there, and to other areas that probably these people influence your life directly, unless they say so. And even to the other extreme in the spiritual sense, and here I may not dwell on much, in our circles, the man of God said. Ever heard those statements? That just because they said, and there is no Berean search to even see what they said, is it conversant and parallel to also what God has said? And we take our minds out of it and we pledge our allegiance in that direction. I'm not saying that possibly what your pastor said was not true, but there could be an unhealthy obsession with an individual that we have placed them in the place of God and we can't see God beyond them. At times it could be our idols and icons, you know, Forbes list, Elon Musk. I know young people, I preached at Club J at some point, they tell me they want to be Elon Musk. The future, you know how he has money and cars, you know, that's the standard. They forget our God has a cattle on 1,000 hills. Maybe cattle is not as is not as comparable to cars, but how God is rich and he chooses to bring forth these riches towards us. And some of us have this unhealthy obsession with these gods and we have dedicated our faithfulness towards them. For some of us, it could be the media that we listen to the music, the movies, and we take our cue from them as our lords. It's hard to say, it could be our relationships. You have a boyfriend, they are lord over your life. You have a girlfriend, even your spouse. God said this, but my spouse said, satfanya nini, you know, so this one is more dangerous, you know. And at times we also take ourselves out of our lordship, of our faithfulness to this one God. And at times it could even be our parents. You know, your parents say this and their word is law. You want to honor and obey them, but there is a sense in which you've also taken God out of the equation. They say jump and you just say how high. And there is no place to view this in an eternal perspective as to what God will desire. And I think a question to ask there at times is, are you entranced by these gods? Are you enslaved by them? Are you encapsulated? Are you enclosed? Are you taken out and you've forgotten that the Lord our God is one? In the multiplicity of the voices of advisors, there is no advisor. And so, young people, are you taking too much advice from people who don't care about your existence? And you've forgotten, there's this parent who actually cares about you, but are these parents Christians as well? I think there's a whole matrix working out there and you really need to see the wood from the trees. There's a singer, a country singer. He sings a song called On the Other Hand. And this is what he quotes. He finds himself in a situation where he's married, and he finds this other lady and she kind of makes him feel some type of way and wants to abscond the relationship. And this is what he says in the song. On one hand, I can count the reasons I could stay with you. But on the other hand, there's a golden band that reminds me of someone who will not understand. On one hand, I could stay and be your loving man. But the reason I must go is on the other hand. Faithfulness, fidelity, the symbols that remind us that God has taken us as a bride for him. And to abscond that fidelity towards him is to betray something special. On one hand, I see how logical it was to find yourself enslaved by those types of gods. But on the other hand, there's one who's made a commitment towards you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the reason you must leave these other gods is on the other hand. That's for me and my spouse. That's for you and people that you are loyal to. Think about such things when you feel it's time to jump ship and leave the God that loves you. I think there's a hymn writer, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Prone, I feel it. Young people, do you feel like your allegiance is not to this one God for all times and always? Secondly, loving God with our hearts, remember to love him passionately with your heart for all times and always. Love him passionately with your heart for all times and always. The command goes ahead in verse 5 and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your inmost being, your emotions, your will, your purpose, your desires, your passions, your affections, your perceptions. That with all your heart, you are going to employ yourself to love God. That no one shall have your heart. Proverbs 4:23 will say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Another, Christ will say also, I think in the Gospels, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, the mouth speaketh. In our hearts, God's word is written. In your hearts, he chooses to move you in a certain direction, your passions, your will, your emotions, your focus, to fix your affections on him, to love God fervently, fiercely, with all your heart. And as you see your love turned to lust and your desires to covetousness, time is good to pause there as young people and ask, who has your heart? Who has your heart? Who, on whom do you meditate on in this way and your heart palpitates for them? No, is it perambulate? Is that the word? You find yourself moved with passions in this other direction? Passions misaligned to temporal and sinful things? If you're young at heart and young in age, don't waste your passions on things that don't last, on things that won't matter. I feel some of us could be passionate about our careers, passionate, but there is no eternal perspective as to what this career shall really fulfill towards God's glory. Time's misaligned. I feel there are some who could be very passionate about trees more than God, you know? And in and of themselves, these are good things. Be passionate about the environment. But if all your social action is about the thing itself and no eternal perspective, I think you're lost. Passionate about social justice without the influence of an eternal perspective. You just want to go and smell tear gas, but you know, there is no eternal perspective as to why. Why are we doing this? Why all this action? And I think people in the past knew why they were fighting for this, for their children. For their children. They were willing to die for a safer world for their children. Some of us, it's very selfish. It's really for me and what I can gain. To have your passions moved in the right direction. Don't waste your life. And here as well, I think when it comes to the heart, to young people, we can never forget to talk about relationships and how your hearts at times can be really moved because you like how they look, you like what they do, but at times you forget who they are. And that's why, as a church, we always say, don't be unequally yoked. Don't be fooled by kindergarten things of shapes, colors, and sizes. Yeah. Don't be fooled. Who are they really? What's their content? What's the content of their character? Don't give your heart prematurely to one on whom the primary basis is really how they look and what they do. But again, when you find one that you like and they are a Christian, gentlemen in the house, get the courage and ask them. Tell them. Build a friendship, let it make sense. Tell them. If they deny you, come back. We'll pray together. Can't tell me, hey, Pastor Bundi, it's hard. Hey. I know, we'll pray because primarily you've had your focus and faithfulness on this one God. And be like Adam, be found working for the Lord. And then when the time is right, the sleep will come. Okay. The time will be right and you will know. You will know that the time is right. So you gain the courage and you guard your heart. From out of it flows out the wellspring and issues of life. Thirdly, remember to love your God thoughtfully. Employ your mind. Love your God thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. It's not written here in Deuteronomy, but later on Christ will reiterate this same command and he will add, love the Lord your God with all your mind. Thoughtfully. Think through. Think through how you are moving forward as a young person. Think through it. Employ your intellect as you make your decisions, as you have your imaginations, as you dream on, as you reason, as you learn. Be a critical thinker. Pursue truth. Guard your thoughts, especially in a world of infinite misinformation. 1 Peter 5 will remind us that be alert and of sober mind. Be alert and of sober mind. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Put your mind in the game. Young people, don't be mindless. Think about everything that you're interacting with, the dreams that you're having. Do they have an eternal perspective? Employ your mind into it. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, a mind of humility. Scripture talks and warns of those who are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. This, I believe, is in Timothy. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And you know a lot, but have you really employed your mind into thinking about the eternal perspective of this? And let me pause here and ask, how do your studies relate to your God-given purpose? How do your studies relate to your God-given purpose? Do you just learn for the sake of learning? And maybe some of you just want to be doctors. We all can't be doctors. We all can't be teachers. But there's a purpose towards which God has given towards you. And so parents, it is your duty to help your children discover this purpose. And then you launch them in that direction. Pray them into it, support them. But don't make it too narrow. Help them. Help them discover why were they born through you and into your family. What's their purpose? It might sound naive, but is this God-honoring? You know, if they want to be a pastor, amen? They want to be a pastor, support them. If they want to be a teacher, help them. If you hear they want to be something shady and not making sense, don't support them. Help them. Help them rethink this. I know you're passionate about this, but tell me, how do you see this working out? Let's think through this critically. You love this, but in the eternal part, okay, how is this working out? Have a conversation. Paul will write in Philippians 4:8 that whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think about such things. Guard your minds and have it think through these perspectives. Is this thing true? Is it noble? Is there a good report in this thing? We talked much about mental health in the first installment. And I think much is because if it's not a clinical, medical kind of diagnosis, I think much of it is really because we're not guarding our minds. What we are feeding our minds is taking us in the other direction. You know, you watch these X-rated movies and you wonder why you're struggling with lust, you know? And you just have to do an analysis. Garbage in, garbage out. We're saying this, you know, maybe you watch too much of horror movies. And you wonder why you can't sleep and why you're afraid, why you're anxious. I have nothing against, okay, I have a few things against, but what you employ your minds towards, coarse language, and you wonder why you speak like that, you know? You're saying, yeah, I'm trying to change, but all your movies and music, you know? And actually the whole music is a it's like a deadline, you know? There are really no words there worth writing home about. Guard your thoughts. Rid yourself of anxiety and helpful comparison. Don't waste your mind on things that don't matter. Don't fill it with pornography, coarse and filthy language. Don't daydream, live in the moment, employ your mind, think through it. Young people, we need to think. And also in my prayer, I've learned to say over time, help us to think through this. You don't check out your mind at the door. This is not IMAX. You don't come to watch a movie over music. You've come to employ your mind and your heart and to think through, what are we learning today? How am I moving forward in my journey of salvation? To think through the things that you are doing. And indeed, entrust the older generation with those thoughts that you cannot as yet process. You're too overwhelmed and you're trying to solve world hunger in your room. you can't go to your mom, go to your dad, go to this mentor and tell them, there's this thing I'm really thinking over and I don't know what to do. You will find much help. I have found much help for myself in entrusting my thoughts and saying, I think that was building castles in the air and a house of cards. Help me through this. You'll find there's so many people willing to help you in God's house. Second, lastly, remember your Lord, your God. Love him spiritually for all times and always. For all times and always. So here we are told again, love the Lord your God with all your soul. With all your soul. Definitely we know that we are not bodies. We are souls. And that's why we say when we die, you're not really gone. Your soul returns to the maker. You are really a soul. Your identity is this soul within you that moves the mind, the body to do what it needs to do. Your soul will be your actual identity, your actual reality before God. And so he asks us to love him with all our life, being willing to give up our life for him and to him, devote all to his service, to live for him and be willing to die for him. For his glory and your good. To devote your entire being, your very essence to God, surrendering your identity. Young people, if you find yourself confused about your identity, be it gender, be it your place in society, you go back to God who gave you this identity and ask him, what's my purpose? I'm losing grip on reality. I'm thinking of changing my gender. I'm thinking of changing and disappearing because I can't find a space in this world. Suicide is on the cards. I'm thinking it's an option because I have no place in this world. You go back to God and you ask him to help you make sense of your identity. And here my caution is, beware of realities currently seeking after your soul. False religions, claiming that there are more ways to God than one. Who is Jesus Christ? Beware of this religious fanaticism and even absconding religion itself and saying, I will be an atheist. And because you feel, you know, we eat and drink for tomorrow, we die. No, don't fall into the lie. Your soul matters in God's perspective. We're saying this with Solterians, I believe, 2 weeks ago, that when you feel unknown and anonymous, in God's eyes, you are not unknown. You might feel you won't make it to the grand scheme of things. No one will know your name. But there is one who loves you dearly, sent his son to die for you, knows the number of hairs on your head. And even when we say he went to build a house for us, if you've done construction, you never build a house without people in mind. He knows who's coming to live in those houses. He has you in mind, in your obscurity, lost in your abyss and stuff like that. Don't feel that you don't matter. And once you move yourself to God's direction, you will seek validation in no one else. Not in a woman, not in a man, not in a parent, not in anything temporary. You will seek your validation from God alone. I think much of us moving into drugs and substance abuse, especially in the young generation, is a search for meaning and identity and a hollowness, and that won't help you. It will only make you worse. And some of these things are learned experientially. And I might tell you this and you might say, let me experience for myself. I know why. I know the limit between drunk, you know, tipsy and drunk. I know, nikifikambili, you know. And you're teetering with the edge. You're raising a baby cub lion, not knowing its nature is to devour you when it's fully grown. Don't play with the devil and the wiles that he has as he guns for your soul. And so you love him spiritually. You bring your entire being to him for all times and always. Be you young, be you old. Don't fraternize with your soul, your inmost being. Love God with all your soul. But finally, you love him with all your strength for all times and always. Love him with all your strength for all times and always. He ends that verse and says, with all your strength, our everything. In fact, the Hebrew word there is with our veriness, our everything. You love God with all your strength, your might, your energy, your vigor. You feel you have too much energy, love God with it. With all that God has placed at your disposal and is available to serve God, you love him with your everything, your talents. Don't look for a dingy bar to sing karaoke at night. Join the worship team. Join the worship team, learn an instrument, serve God with your talent. You feel hospitable? Don't house crooks. House people here who seek to grow in the knowledge of God with those talents, with your finances, with your riches. You serve God with them in the church and in your personal space. Visit with those who are sick and elderly, those who are in jail. Part of our strength could be our spouses, our children. Love God with them. How's your spouse doing this morning? Are they also growing in their knowledge of God? Are your children growing in the knowledge of God? Love them with your everything. Love God with your everything because they matter to you. Everything that he has placed in your hands. And you move yourself unapologetically in that direction. And so he concludes, as we will conclude, that these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates for all times and always. Every single time, this ought to be the focus and perspective of our lives. And so when the strength is gone and you have loved God with your everything and you sing with the hymn writer that hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. The heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Abide with me as I try to love you with my everything for all times and always. Because at times we know that we cannot perfectly love God the way we should. It's hard. Young people, I know it's hard. And that's why you need a helping hand. Don't be a stereo in your movie. Don't think you can make it on your own. You need this help. You need people willing to pull you up. In fact, C.S. Lewis, there's a book that he writes called Mere Christianity. He writes this. He says, the teacher is able to form the letters for the child because the teacher is grown up and knows how to write. That, of course, makes it easier for the teacher. And only because it is easier for him can he help the child. If it rejected him because it's easy for grown-ups and waited to learn writing from another child who could not write itself, it will not get on very quickly. If I am drowning in a rapid river, a man who still has one foot on the bank may give me a hand which saves my life. Ought I to shout back between my gasps? It's unfair. You have an advantage. You're keeping one foot on the bank. That advantage, call it unfair if you like, is the only reason why he can be of any use to me. To what will you look for help if you will not look to that which is stronger than yourself? Young in age, young at heart. How else do you want to be helped if you don't count on those who've gone ahead of you? If you don't listen to your parents and you think they have a conspiracy to kill you, you know? No, they really, really want to help you. At times, maybe how they go through it is too loving, you know? And you're love bombed by this. How? I can't accept this much love, you know? But that's why they can help you, because they've been there before. And in humility, you stretch out your hand and say, help me. Because you have been there before, may we be humble. But more than that, we have one who loved God more than we have been able to love him. One who exemplifies this particular tributes for us, And of course, that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No sermon ought to pass without a reminder of that reality. The reason we can sit here, the reason we are not in the ground today, and we are alive today with the blessings we have around us, is because there is one we thought who had an unfair advantage, but because he has that advantage, also we too can have the benefit of life. And so to close our time together, I'd like us to focus on this man who has this advantage, who helps us to grow in this love. And if you've never partaken in the Lord's table, today, that's why we closed our Limitless and Soul services today, that we can do this as a family, to remind ourselves to rekindle this love and to think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who surpassed all generations, continues to surpass all generations, and gives strength and focus to every generation moving forward, that we might remember his life, his death, his resurrection, and how he has urged us forward.